Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. Very warm welcome indeed to you all. This is the Sam Football Euro 2012 preview special. My name is Chris Oakley, and I'm very pleased to say that, as ever, sitting across the other side of this table from which I speak, I have Terry DeFellin and Graham Sibley to go through the next half an hour of vibrant discussion. Welcome to you both.
Willkommen. Bienvenue.
This is going to take more than half an hour, isn't it?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yes. So, anyway, there we are. Now then, two things to say up front. First of all, apologies if there's any background noise. You should be able to hear us okay, but we are once again at the Sports Bar and Grill here, Victoria Station, London. So, another pubcast from us. Secondly, if there's anything that we say during this podcast that you've heard on the last Two Footed Tackle podcast that we did, any similarities there, we apologise, but we're assuming that you regularly listen to us, not them, which is perfectly understandable.
And you don't want to start listening to them because they finished anyway.
They finished last week anyway.
Yeah, quite so.
And a third apology, if I sound a little bit hoarse, that's because I've got a bit...
He's Mr. Ed.
I'm feeling a little hoarse. Yes, to coin a phrase. So there we are. Anyway.
It's better than being rogered by one, I suppose.
Better rogered by one.
So what we're going to do during the course of this podcast is hopefully give you our take on who we think will hopefully eventually win Euro 2012. Not only that, we're going to look at the teams that we think will do well in the group stages and knock out. Maybe those teams will ultimately disappoint rather than impress. And we have our own unique mechanisms with which to decide those very facts, as will become clear. So, gents, I think we have to start off with Group A. And in Group A we have the Czech Republic, Russia, Poland and Greece. Let's first of all have a bit of a conflab about our initial thoughts on that. I'll come to you first. Terry, what's the initial thing? What's the first thought that comes into your head in terms of maybe which team is likely to prosper in that group?
Well, I believe that as hosts, Poland will do very well in that group. Mm-hmm. I even think it's a very strong possibility that they will qualify as group winners as well. So, and for this, I believe it's because they've got the three Borussia Dortmund players, and they've got the advantage of being at home, which although may be a disadvantage because they're at home and they might be feeling the pressure somewhat. If they can get off to a decent start against Greece on the opening day, which in itself is a problem, isn't it? Because oftentimes opening days of major tournaments can be a bit flat.
Yes.
But if they can scare up a win against the Greeks, then I think that they'll be set fair to a group win. I don't know enough about Russia to say one thing or another about them, so they are for me dark horses.
Yes.
Precisely because I don't know much about them. So I'm going to say that I think that Poland are definitely going to be group winners from that group.
Yeah. Well,
not definitely, but I think there's a very good possibility.
I think it's fair to make clear right from the off that really there is no group of death because they're all so tight for different reasons, really. You've got a group of death with top quality teams and you've got a group of death with kind of seeming also rans in and so on and so on. So I think we should just dismiss that notion right from the off.
Well, I think there is a group of death, but it's just a group of death of what your opinions are on a team rather than actually whether they're any good or not.
A group of opinion death.
Yes, I think so. Yeah.
Finally, this is where all football opinion dies with this podcast.
I think that could actually be our strap line, couldn't it, really?
Where
opinions go to die. The opinion graveyard. Why didn't we call this podcast the Opinion Graveyard?
We can always change the name.
It's no use now after 3 years to come up with that.
It'll never fit on a marquee as someone
We mentioned at the top of the podcast that we were on the last Two Footed Tackle show, which was last week. We recorded that with Gary Andrews, Chris Lee and so on and so on.
They're dead to me.
Yes.
Never mention them again.
No. But on that podcast, our good friend James Appel said that Russia would ultimately be a bit disappointing because they're Russia
and they're always disappointing. more into it?
Well, I'm really looking forward to seeing Russia, because I don't really know hardly any of their players. I only know Pogrebniak and I know Pavlyuchenko, who in fairness have been quite disappointing, but, and obviously I know Arshavin.
Yes.
But the others I don't really know, because I think for the most part they all play in Russia, and I don't follow the Russian league. It is carried in the UK on TV, but the scheduling is haphazard, and I've never really had the opportunity to really get to know that league. So I'm quite looking forward to seeing them, just simply because I enjoy watching, one of the reasons why I enjoy watching international tournaments is the chance to see teams and players, particularly players that I don't know and have not seen.
Indeed.
So that's quite good.
It has to be said that they did actually manage to top their qualifying group for a change, because they haven't done that actually very recently, so they've got that going for them, but as you say, a bit of an unknown quantity.
Yeah,
so
they've slipped up as well in playoffs, haven't they?
So yes, indeed, yeah.
Indeed, they didn't qualify for the World Cup because they went to the playoff, didn't they? And they thought that they were all but through, didn't they?
Home and hosed, yeah.
Mm.
And they weren't.
We laugh at them.
Yes.
Now, Graham, the thing is, on that, again, making reference to that podcast we were on last week, I'm sorry if you didn't hear it, this is probably all irrelevant, but there seemed to be a lot of good vibes about Poland. Well, I went into that recording thinking that actually they weren't much cop.
No, but I probably came into it because I said that they would get through to the semi-finals, and like Terry here said that my octopus ink was squirting all over the place. So. I think it was probably because of my little hankering for Borussia Dortmund, and thinking that the Dortmund players are going to carry Poland through.
Yeah, plus a few others as well. But I mean, I am also mainly focused on the Dortmund players.
But the thing is, I guess, is you sort of think if those Dortmund players, who presumably are decent quality, if they've always been in that squad, then presumably then Poland would have done better as a national side before now. And yet, there's not been many results in their qualifying that have been that.
I'm not listening.
I'm not saying.
Consider that Piszczek and Lewandowski are still very young players, Lewandowski particularly, and also consider that obviously for the last 2 years they haven't had to do any qualifying because they've been hosts.
Yep.
But it's a fair point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I wasn't for any
no,
moment.
I think that's the thing is when Poland turned up to the World Cup in 2006, and Terry and I were very, very excited, and we think, oh, this is going to be great. This is Germany versus Poland, this is going to be brilliant. And then like it was 3-0 after about half an hour, and it was an absolute washout. But now I'm thinking about Poland now are going to be, I mean, most host nations do better, whether by hook or by crook, whether the fact they're actually any good or the fact that they build the game. And even South Africa, who were frankly crap, were unlucky not to progress out of the
game. I think I read a statistic somewhere recently, it was something like no host nation in a Euro has lost their opening game for like 20 years or something, so they should at least go after a reasonable start.
Did not even Austria didn't lose their opening game in 2008, did they? Neither the hosts got through.
Yeah.
Really hoping that the hosts
get
through.
We came close, didn't we?
Yes, this is true. That was a close run of thing, yes. Euro 96. And a final word, I mean, just about Greece. They are no longer the team that parks the bus and scrapes results. They are now apparently playing a more attacking brand of football. So we cannot look forward to that. But whether they've got the quality there remains to be seen. I think they've shipped out some of their old guard and are now bringing through a lot of young players.
Yeah, and they've got Samaras still up front of them.
They've got a player who I've cheerleaded for the last two major international tournaments and has been pretty average for both of them, and that's Stefanis Gekas, who is playing in Turkey, I think, for Samsunspor.
Yes,
previously at Bayer Leverkusen and Eintracht Frankfurt and Portsmouth, I think, and many other clubs. A serial goal scorer in his day, and I was hopeful that in 2008 and indeed in 2010 that he would come up trumps for Greece, but I'm feeling turning my faith in them is waning somewhat now, so I'm not so sure. But I think you know, their biggest goal threat should really lie with him.
Yep.
I know the two defenders, Papadopoulos and Socrates, for Schalke and Werder Bremen respectively, decent defenders, albeit slightly on the young side. I think there's a lot for the Greeks to be optimistic about,
yeah.
And there's no reason why they shouldn't be confident.
There is a bit of a German flavour to Group A, isn't there?
Yeah, there is, very much so. Yeah, in terms of the kind of most notable players going through. I mean, right. I mean, obviously Poland, as we've mentioned already.
Czech Republic. I should imagine there's quite a few Czech players in the Bundesliga.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I know Kadlec, and I know Juracek, who I hideously mispronounced in the last podcast for Wolfsburg. But also. And I've just blanked about his name, the striker, Thomas Eckhart, Thomas Peckhart, who is plays for Nuremberg, and I don't know whether or not I'll be relying on his fortunes too much. He's not actually a terribly popular player at Nuremberg, and Nuremberg had a good season, but I don't know whether or not he's quite.
So are we going to decide who's going to come through?
Well, yes, we now have to decide, and the method we're going to do this is, it might seem complicated, but I'm sure by the end of this podcast it'll become second nature and it'll be easy to understand. But essentially what we're going to do, each of the three of us is going to pick essentially our two teams that we think will qualify from the group. So let's go around first of all.
Yeah.
Graham, I'll go to you first. Who is your first choice of who you think will go through?
I think out of this group it will be Poland.
Going for Poland first.
Right, so I can't choose Poland.
By our rules, you can't choose
somebody else. So I'm going to choose, against my better judgment, I'm going to choose Russia, because I really like Greece. Or maybe I should choose Greece because I like them.
I'm going to choose
Russia.
You're going to choose Russia? Okay.
Right, well, that's fair enough, because I was going to choose Greece.
Oh, well, that's okay. So that means you get a chance to choose Greece. So now we're going to go around again.
To pick our second team to qualify.
But we can't pick out the team that we picked the first time.
No. So full details on the website.
No, they won't.
All the team that no one picked Czech Republic, they're dead to us.
So the Czech Republic are already out.
They're already out. Yeah.
So we now have to pick two.
I'm going to pick either Greece or Russia, and I'm going to go for Greece.
Okay.
So Terry, you've already picked Russia. You can pick Poland or Greece.
No, I'll pick Poland.
You're going to pick Poland.
Oh, you've already picked Greece.
You don't want Greece then. You don't think Greece is going to go through?
No, I'll pick Greece.
No. Sorry. There you go. So there you go. Right.
Far away.
So Chris, you can choose either Poland or Russia.
I, at the risk of screwing everything up, I genuinely think Russia.
Russia. Well, that's fine, because that means Poland are out, and Greece go top. Greece to finish in first place and Russia to finish second.
Terry has currently got his hand over his face in disbelief.
Okay.
But there we are.
Three people pick Greece, one person pick Poland, two people pick Russia. Yeah. That's how this works.
Can't argue with democracy.
Can't argue. That's right. So yes, indeed. No coalitions here.
Exactly.
So there we are. You heard it here first.
So there you go. That's what we think. We think Greece are going to finish top in this group and Russia are going to finish second. Poland and Czech Republic.
Maybe, Graham, you'd like to fill that in on the bottom section of the form that I've considerately...
Look, 1A. Look, there it is. Look, man alive.
Because we're not just throwing this together, everyone.
No, look.
We are actually plotting this out.
You talk while I'm writing. I find it very, very difficult to multitask.
Well, in that case, let's move on to Group B, then, and I'll give you the runners and riders here. This is the most popular group of death in terms of how everyone's labelling these things. It contains Denmark, the Netherlands, Portugal and Germany. We've just been talking a lot about Germany, so let's continue the theme then, really. A lot of people's favourites, and I would have to say personally, up until recently I was going for Spain as my favourites, but I mean, we'll come on to them shortly, but I just kind of think that they're maybe they're possibly going to be suffering a bit from kind of glory fatigue. So I've actually switched to Germany as my favourites to go through. I just think that the way they qualified was utterly ruthless. They won
even after that game against Switzerland at the weekend.
Well, yeah, I can't actually accept these kind of friendlies.
No.
As the England friendly against Norway kind of proved, you just can't take that as a genuine kind of result. So a genuine match. So I think Germany were ruthless in qualifying. They've got quality all the way through their squad, and it's difficult not to go for Germany as one of the two teams. But that's just me speaking for myself. Terry, obviously you're the man from Bundesliga Lounge and the Bundesliga Show podcast. So I'd be very surprised if you're going to turn around now and say they're going to struggle to qualify from that group.
But I think that it's going to be a struggle for everybody in that group, including Germany.
Including Germany.
It's an extremely difficult group. But that doesn't stop me from thinking that I think Germany will get out of that group.
Okay.
They've got a phenomenal array of players. The only weakness that they have is in their defence. And I mean in their actual defence, I'm not saying in
their defence.
The only weakness they have is in their defence. There are some concerns about the lack of experience. They are who to play as the other fullback. Philipp Lahm will obviously be the other fullback, but he plays left or right back. Will he play left or right back? And if he plays left back, he'll be right back, and so on and so forth. Benedikt Hervidis is an excellent player, possibly a right back, but has also played as centre back. As Jerome Boateng, which listeners who watch a lot of Premier League will be familiar with, he thinks he should be a better centre back, but in fact he's more likely to play as a right back. They played Marcel Schmelzer in the game against Switzerland, and he was a disaster apparently. And in the centre you've got Hummels, who should definitely play, and maybe Badstuber or maybe Mertesacker. So I think that the lack of consistency there in the back is a bit of a problem for them, but they've got Bastian Schweinsteiger, they've got Mario Götze, they've got Mario Gomez, they've got Lukas Podolski, Marco Reus, Thomas Müller, Toni Kroos, Miroslav Klose. There's a bevy.
It's unbelievable.
There's a bevy of attacking players there. I was looking through there, and I noticed that I think there's only a handful of two or three outfield players that didn't play in a team that qualified for the Champions League.
Wow.
And I've not even mentioned Mesut Özil and Sami Khedira as well, the two Real Madrid players who are on the Spanish
league. And Manuel Neuer at the back.
So everybody there, Podolski didn't qualify for the Champions League, apart from the fact that he will be playing the Champions League next year. He's transferred to Arsenal. There's a huge array of talent there. And so you'd be a fool not to make them favourites to win the tournament. That doesn't mean they'll win.
No.
But it does mean that it looks good for them.
Yeah. And
makes them worth watching for them.
And Graham, I mean, there is this sort of thought, it was to make another reference to the final Two Footed Tackle podcast, there was a mention by Gary Andrews during that recording of ours that he sort of said that maybe Germany could be effectively another Dutch team from the 70s, as in lots of potential, lots of quality, but not actually winning it.
I'm just echoing what he said.
Is that really likely?
It is likely. I mean, there is no guarantees in football, and unless you are a super confident team that will always go out against the biggest side, going undefeated in qualification, although it's impressive, it's not impossible.
Yeah.
And there's lots of teams that have done it and not done anything before. England have done it. and Holland have done it on more than one occasion.
Yeah.
So you can't be caught up in how well a team is organised during qualification. It's good, but it doesn't mean that once you come up against a serious threat, like they will do in their second game in this group, it's when they play Holland, it's going to be a real test for both sides.
Yeah.
And I think there is no easy game in this group. Germany will play Denmark, and they are and they'll have they'll play Portugal and they'll have problems there. Yeah. They'll win against Portugal, but it won't be easy.
This is the group. This is the best group.
Every game you want to watch.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And even the Danes. I know the Scandinavians tend to get a bit of a bad rap, but there are some cracking players.
Yeah, that's because Scandinavian football's rubbish, Charlie.
Yes, Charlie, it's rubbish.
Yes, the latest passing in the history of
this. I'm going to be said that sound football doesn't engage with his listeners.
He may abuse a few of them verbally.
But this is an incredible statistic that in the last two tournaments, Germany have actually only qualified for the knockout stage in their last game. So that kind of tallies up also.
And that, I think they will do exactly the same here.
Yeah.
And it might be even in the last 20 minutes of the last game. Game for them, really. I think that's how that's the sort of margins we'll be looking at. We're going to see at the end of this group two games going on side by side that are going to be you're going to be flicking over from Eurosport to.
What do you think about the Dutch then? I mean, the Dutch are also big favourites to win because obviously having got to the World Cup final, having got rid of Brazil on their way.
You know the difference though between the Dutch and the Germans is that everyone in the Dutch side. How many of those play actually in Holland?
Well, that's true.
Well, I would.
Argue, how many of the big names?
I can only think of Luke.
They play. They play everywhere because they're fantastic.
Yeah.
But a lot of the German, the focus of the German side, with like
Oz, just the two Oz guys and Cadera, play Spain, Madrid,
but they're playing. They're playing each other week in week.
Even those two guys play for the same club.
And I think fundamentally, the team that the starting lineup is going to be. Pretty much exactly the same as the one that was in the 2010 World Cup final, so they're very kind of settled into the lineup.
The counter argument to that, but it's also in fairness, it's the same reinforcing argument for Germany, is that like Germany, the Netherlands players have been playing together since they were about 14, 15.
Yep. Yeah.
Because they'll have gone, unlike in England,
they'll have gone through
the whole under 15, under 17 process.
So they'll
know each other.
Is what Holland's going to turn up? Is it the side that played Spain in the final and just said, right, we're going to like clump you off the pitch? Or
it is easy to be haunted by those memories of that World Cup final,
because we can say how gifted a lot of these players are.
What I want to know is the answer to a very simple question, and I don't know whether we won't know the answer until he lines it up. I want to know Van Persie or Huntelaar.
Van Persie,
I don't think they'll be playing two strikers up
front. No.
What's it going to be?
If they make
do you go with Huntelaar, who scored 5 million goals in the Bundesliga, or do you go with Van Persie, who scored 5 million goals in the Premier League? Or do you try and accommodate them? I think in their friendly match they played Van Persie out on the flank. I don't think that's a good thing at all.
And wasn't it Kaut just behind the front two sort of thing? I think he was kind of like as kind of just.
I would argue that I think Dirk Kaut's a fine player, and I'd love to see him playing for Crystal Palace, but I don't necessarily think he's world class.
Yeah.
So I think that there's a certain lack of balance in the Netherlands team.
Especially when
they don't have enough to go all the way.
You're not going to see Schneider, Van der Vaart, Huntelaar, Robin, and Van Persie on the pitch at the same time.
This isn't the 50s, but it would be brilliant.
It would be like the front five, wouldn't it? It'd be like 24 all over again.
I think I need another beer just to contemplate that. Okay, well, I mean, so undeniable quality throughout in the Netherlands team. In terms of the other two in the group, Portugal and Denmark, I mean, a lot of people sort of say, who do you think you're sort of dark horses for the competition? I think, in some ways, Denmark, because I think they've got the quality there and they've got a great coach in Morten Olsen, but it's just the fact that they're in such a tough group.
Your man Eriksen, who's a very good player, young fella, plays for Ajax. Lots about him. And they do have Bentner. I realise that Bentner is a bit of a comic figure in England, but he's a top quality, massively talented player.
And
dangerous.
And really fails to sort of step up to the plate when he's in a Denmark shirt.
That's a very good, very salient point. I don't think any of the opposition teams are going to underestimate Bentner whatsoever. I mean, the English media may ridicule him, but no one else will, unless he does something really stupid.
It wouldn't be
be a major tournament if a British broadcasting company was not the British broadcasting company necessarily, but you know, some TV broadcast from the UK was ridiculing some player.
Can we also say that I believe that Dennis Romadar will be the player in which a BBC employed summariser, someone like Mick McCarthy, will go, is he still playing?
Yeah,
live on air, despite the fact that the team sheets arrive, you know, several minutes before. Yeah.
Well, is it the same
like they did with Veron against Argentina? Mick McCarthy did Veron against Argentina.
When I said,
is he still playing?
When I said not necessarily the British Broadcasting Company, actually that's kind of what I meant, the BBC. Alan Shearer, you know the rest of the plot. Portugal, I just think they're okay. They've now got the new manager in charge, and they're starting to straighten the ship up a bit, shall we say, in terms of getting a bit of harmony.
Helder Bostinga, is he still playing?
Helder Bostinga is still playing.
Yeah, you're allowed to say it. Yeah. Yeah. You're part time.
Yes, but I just think even though they've got Cristiano Ronaldo, I just think they've not. I mean, it was a very unsettled qualifying procedure I think that Portugal had, and I just think it's not. They'll put in some good performances.
I think they'll all qualify.
Portugal, I mean, it's weird because Portugal are going through this sort of like post-imperial, well, post-non-imperial phase when they had this golden team that are now all retired.
Yes.
So we're meant to go and be a World Cup side.
Yeah.
And now they've not got a World Cup side, but they're still qualifying for tournaments by the skin of their teeth.
Absolutely.
I don't know if this isn't going to be make or break for them, but I wonder what they're hoping to get out of this tournament, whether they're hoping for it to be like consolidation. I don't know. Well,
we're making up new terms.
Consolidation.
On the fly. Yes.
Or whether they're actually just trying to like flood some new talent out there. Maybe we'll see a new style of the tournament.
Well, feasibly it's the stepping stone towards the next World Cup, so it may be just used as a kind of.
There's a paucity of native Portuguese players in the Portuguese league.
Yeah.
And the top sides don't have that many. They tend to naturalise and become disparate and
Brazilians are
I don't know.
They do have in defence, of course, a friend of the podcast, which is Quantreau. I personally will be looking for a seat.
There it is, Quantreau.
Raising a glass to him.
Yes, that's right.
Quantreau on hands. Right, okay, come on. Terry, you can start
Terry.
On Group B.
Right, well, I'm going to say Germany now.
Yeah, say Germany, tick in the box of Germany. Okay, and Chris, you're going to tick in the box for
Netherlands.
You're going to tick in the box for Netherlands. And between me, if I go Denmark and Portugal, I'm going to go for Denmark.
Ooh, cool.
Oh. So Portugal, you are
eliminated.
So Terry, who's your other team? Is it going to be Netherlands or Denmark?
I'm going to say Netherlands.
Chris, you've got Denmark or Germany. Who's it going to be?
Well, Germany, of course.
And I've got Netherlands or Germany. Ooh, I'm going to say. Well, it doesn't really matter. I'm going to say Netherlands. Now, what this means is that Netherlands go through as top, and Germany are second in our group.
Oh, yes. History being made as you listen, everybody.
Let's move on to group C, while Graham is typing all that up.
Okay, so that contains Croatia.
We should have a fictional typist here, shouldn't we?
Yeah.
In the same way that they have on...
Danny Baker has his typewriter.
Click, click, click.
Yes. Group C contains Croatia, Ireland, Italy and Spain. A fascinating group, and one which I believe opens with the fixture of Italy versus Spain. I think I'm right in saying that.
Looking forward to that game.
Now, of course, Spain are the reigning champions. I think they've kind of, their style is on the wane somewhat. You've got Ireland always there to essentially trip up anyone that they play, potentially. And Croatia, who I've forgotten his name. Who's the coach's name of Croatia?
Slaven Bilic.
Slaven Bilic, chief.
Yes, of course. How did I forget that? So he's on his way out. This is his last tournament. The question with them is, are the team going to pull together and give him a big send off or not? So I think
First of all, let's take Spain then, really, because they are undoubtedly going to be suffering from the lack of Villa and Puyol in the side, but obviously lots of great players still left. Again, a bit like Germany, really, seemingly a shoe-in for the next round. But a lot of people sort of, when naming their favourites for the competition, aren't kind of considering Spain, really. It's almost like they've kind of decided, no, not Spain for us. I'm thinking this is probably a good time to put a bet on Spain to win the competition, because their odds are probably lengthened on that basis. What say you both?
Well, it struck me that Spain were being unfancied as soon as certain betting companies started saying we'll return money if Spain win the title.
That was interesting, yeah, that they were refunding losing bets if Spain win.
Which says to me that it's a very, very open tournament, which is great, because considering that they are the holders, mm-hmm. and they're the holders of the World Cup as well, it really does build up interest in this tournament, because they've got a tough group. Mm-hmm. There's no two ways about it.
Yeah.
The worst thing about this group is the fact that they play Italy in the first game, which really does skew this group.
Yeah, yeah. And as I said on the Two Free Tackle podcast, it's possible they might sort of fancy going for a draw on the basis that the other two games they play will be easier.
I don't think they'll do, but I certainly think it wouldn't be I guess if they just sat back and thought, okay, we don't have to. Let's not lose rather than
exactly.
I can see Italy winning that game.
Yeah.
Really? Yeah, okay. And I can see Italy
go against the
Spain and having chase the group, which will be really entertaining, because it means that Spain won't be able to relax if they have to.
It's going to be the most entertaining group around.
So. I've just got a good feeling about it, actually, generally. I've got a good feeling about it this tournament.
I'm not so sure, but let's talk about Italy then, really. I mean, they have got Balotelli really as their kind of main focus up front, but I'm just thinking, to what extent are they going to use him?
That's the thing, isn't it?
That's the thing. That's why I'm so attracted to them, because I mean, Balotelli and Cassano, if they play together, either way you look, it's unlikely that they will, but I mean, either way you look at it, you're either looking at watching a fantastic team built around either one or both of those two players, or you're looking at a complete car crash. Either way, they're well worth watching. But I'm hoping that it's going to be fantastic. I mean, if it's a good tournament for Italy, and it's a good tournament for Balotelli and or Cassano and Favero, and they're both phenomenal players. They've also got, it should be pointed out, Di Natale as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think if it's a good tournament for Italy, it's a good tournament full stop.
Yeah,
because generally speaking, whenever it turns up, it just adds an extra.
Yeah. And of course, this time around, you've also got the match against Ireland, which was the link being Trapattoni.
Yeah. That's going to be brilliant.
That's going to be emotional.
I mean, this is the worst thing about for Ireland, is because they're up against Croatia, and they know that if they lose against Croatia, that's it.
Yeah, exactly.
There's so many unknown quantities about this group.
Yeah.
We just talked about Italy, why they could be problematic. They could be either great or they could be terrible. Ireland, I don't think we genuinely know. You'd imagine that they would be awful, but I mean, with the trap, and if they organise them well, I mean, they're good, solid professionals playing for Ireland. You know,
well, that happens to be my feeling as well.
So come on then, let's pick
Croatia, who have got some cracking players,
tremendous players, Modric side.
But again, you know, just genuinely unknown. This is the toughest group, I think, to call.
Yes,
Perisic.
Perisic, watch out for him,
yeah, Perisic, absolutely a magnificent player.
So come on then, Chris, who do you think is going to go top of this
first group? Well, it's got to be Spain, hasn't it, really, just to kind of state the obvious.
I'm going to go for the obvious as well. I'm going to go for Italy, and so take Croatia and Ireland.
I'll choose Croatia as my other choice.
Oh, that means Ireland. Sorry, Ireland. Sunk out.
Apologies for that.
So, Chris, you've got now Italy or Croatia. Italy, Croatia.
Well, it'll have to be Italy. I think they're going to be very kind of closely matched, but just Italy. I think Italy will be a bit weak in this.
I've got to go for between Spain and Croatia, so I've got to go for Spain, I'm afraid. So, Terry, you've only got Italy and Spain to choose from. Who's it going
to
be?
I'll have to go Spain.
Right, so Spain finished top.
And that means...
Italy finished second.
So, which I think that makes a degree of sense.
Yes. I'm now going to...
It's the King's version of the Jamboree.
After somewhere in the region of about 125 podcasts over the last 3 years, I'm going to do something I've never done before. And that is, I'm going to hand over to my two fellow colleagues in the podcast, because I've got to go to the lavatory.
Yay!
So I'll speak to you soon.
Why don't we have a break now? Put musical interlude. Because then I can go to the bar as well.
Okay, that's even better. All right, we'll take a break.
We'll be right back. Okay, welcome back to part two of the Sound of Football podcast, Euro 2012 special. We're now on to Group D, and it is, of course, England's group. They are, if you needed reminding, and sometimes we've needed reminding in the past, it contains England, France, Sweden and Ukraine. Well, we have to deal with England first, because it's our own country and all that. We've now got Barry out injured, apparently. Lampard's
No!
What are we going to do? Maybe somebody will set up a, you know, some talent show on Saturday night TV. And
you've got Barry.
You've got balls. And now Lampard has pulled up in training today, apparently. I don't know to what extent that's serious or not, really, but we've also got a new manager who's only come in recently, and we've also got Rooney out for the first two games, which everybody's saying means catastrophe all round. Certainly there was something on the BBC website today whereby various journalists from across Europe, all the other competing nations, were basically saying England aren't going to go very far because of those exact reasons I've just mentioned. Do you two have any reason for optimism beyond that?
I've only got reason for optimism in the fact that people are writing that because it sells papers.
Well, it's always that. Yeah.
The thing is, like, they've got to come up with like 4 pages of England content every day now, between now and the start of the tournament. So
yes,
expect a hell of a lot of argle bargle. But no, I'm completely sucked in. I'm completely hooked now with the whole like.
Told you that would happen.
Yeah, I know exactly. I knew it would happen. I saw it coming from a mile away. It was like some filthy tart in there, like from across the bar. Shimmying her way towards me.
Shimmy.
Tart. Anyway.
England, the filthy tart of Group D.
Yeah, it's the filthy Liberty Gibbet. Yes, but I'm Scottish. I'm sorry, I'm somewhere else now.
Behind the bar.
Come on, we're going to get out of this group, aren't we?
Yes, we're going to get out.
Blind optimism.
Yeah.
Oh, God, dear. You probably listened to there's probably a podcast from about 30 episodes ago where we were slagging England on, and yet all knowing that we would all be completely sucked in by the
92,
time.
92, I believe, was the one.
Well,
and we said, I mean, I think it was only a few weeks ago, that we will inevitably get sucked into blind optimism, and that's where we are.
Well, I think the thing with England is it's either going to be a complete failure, or it could, by some strange, ethereal Denmark 92 sort of way, it could all suddenly fall into place, and we'll have a bunch of players that know they're up against it, and we'll have to just
exactly. If Denmark can win it in 92, if Greece can win it in 2004, then
that's the bar we're drinking in. That
yeah, exactly. The bar of winners.
Sure. The bar of unlikely winners. Yeah. But when England can win the European Championship in the same way that anybody in the finals can win the European Championship, and that's where we are. And I think it's just worth bearing that in mind. I mean, I think that England will probably be very defensive, and they'll attack with pace on the break, and it's possible that we might be able to, you know, get some glory from that. I think it's unlikely. I do think that we can get out of this group, though. Genuinely think we can get out of this group.
Certainly.
And there is also this line of thought, which is that when Rooney comes back, he could suddenly inspire the team, and it'll be like a boost that they didn't have at the start.
Huge leap of non-logic. logic going on there? Why would that happen? I don't know why that.
Well, I think there have been sort of similar things happening. I can't think of specifics, but I'm sure there's been one or two other things.
Probably hasn't happened. Yeah. You might have just read it in a book somewhere. Well, are you sure you just weren't?
I'm sure
mistaking it for Roy of the Rovers.
Maybe that's what it is.
Romanticism
anyway.
Has its place in football, and it may well be that on the third game, particularly as the third game will be against Ukraine, and it will be in Ukraine.
Yep.
And we won't know. But at the same time, Rooney could come back. I mean, if we need to get Rooney could come back, he may be not out of condition, but he may be completely ill prepared for the whole thing, and be an absolute disaster.
Yep, absolutely. Get sent off in 2 minutes.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Now, I don't know.
We can't foresee these things.
I think that Walcott's a key player for England. For me, I think he's a real enigma of a player, and I think that if he can turn into a really good show, then I think he's going to be a really good player.
Oxlade Chamberlain, Walcott, Young, all these players,
sort of core
heavy, heavy players. Pace. Really, that's what it is. It's really
Young's game is a little bit more nuanced than that, but yeah,
it's still pace.
And it is
going to be more about counter attack than picking teams apart.
Pressing, counter attacking football.
Yeah.
It's going to be Mourinho's Inter from 2010. If it's as good as Mourinho's Inter of 2010, then we might have
happy days. Happy days.
But it probably won't be.
Yeah. I mean, like, if a team doesn't come out against us, don't expect much. Really, I think if
we're stuffed.
Yeah, I mean, if France or Sweden or Ukraine decide to park the bus, I don't think Ukraine will be allowed to park the bus.
The hardest game will be that in a way the best outcome is that we got France in the first game.
Because they'll
come at us because they have to wash away the shame from the 2010 World Cup.
Yeah.
So they have no choice but to have a go at us.
For me,
Sweden will not. Sweden will play like we do.
Yeah.
Because I mean, I would say that our chances of winning the European Championship are pretty much the same as the other Scandinavian teams. I'd say we were on a par with
the other Scandinavian teams.
Sorry, Charlie. I wouldn't place England, English football, or England's players as that much better than Scandinavian players. To be perfectly honest with you. I think that they will. That's going to be a cagey game. Probably the least exciting. But yeah, I think that a lot of it is that we've got a very canny coach who I think will know that the French will have a go at us, and the Ukrainians will probably have no choice for one reason or another, unless they win. Unless Ukraine win their first two games, in which case, then they may well just go, "Hey, well, you know what, guys." But we've done well in Ukraine. We went to Ukraine for the qualifying in 2010. Is that right?
Yeah,
and we won there relatively comfortably. Is that right?
Yeah, because I think the tournament before that, I think Ukraine had looked a lot more difficult to beat, and when England played them after that,
Ukraine have got a lot to offer. I'm really looking forward to seeing Voronin again. I haven't seen him in ages.
No, indeed.
I haven't seen him since that great season he had at Hertha Berlin in 2009. Him and his sexy chest, where he scored a goal. Yeah, well, the keeper, the ball came over. Voronin was chasing this over the top ball, and the keeper cleared it, and it bounced off Voronin's chest and went into the goal.
Wow.
And he after the game, he recorded, "It was my sexy chest that won the game." Yes. This is the kind of thing you want from footballers.
And on, just based on that alone, Liverpool signed him.
No, it was after Liverpool, but anyway, sorry.
They'd already seen his
sexy chest. That's what I meant. Yeah, of course, that's what I meant. For me, the most interesting team in the group is France, for the reason that Terry just kind of mentioned that.
Yeah, but you like because of cheese and wine. This isn't about cheese and wine. This is about football.
I've got some cracking players in the French team. I watched the
name one.
Oliver Giroud.
Okay, name two.
Franck Ribéry.
Okay, name three.
We have a list here just to save you time.
Aaron Benzema.
Oh, <beyond. laughs>
No Gourcuff, he's been in sort of
that's
poor form recently, so he's out.
Yeah.
And Loic Remy, who's a decent player as well, he's injured, so he's out. But But so a lot of players in the squad who have been drafted through since the last World Cup, who previously hadn't had much of a sniff. People like Yohan Kabaye, who've done well at Newcastle.
And Hatem Ben Arfa, of course.
Hatem Ben Arfa,
the scourge of Premier League defences.
Indeed, indeed. So, and then they're on a tremendous. I think they're like 19 games unbeaten, if I remember right. So
I think they're a bit attack heavy though. I don't see a lot in defence.
They're quite, from what I've seen, they're quite well drilled in defence, but yeah. Not.
They got murdered in the first half against Iceland.
Who's their holding player then now?
Well, in defence.
Yeah.
Well, you've got Evra. You've got.
No, I mean like
holding midfield.
Oh, holding midfield. Yeah. Sorry. Got me now.
Yeah. See, no. I think that's it. They've not got that now. Mm. I mean, it's
no.
I'm just looking into the Claude Makélélé cliches.
Yeah. No one there.
Yeah. I'm never going to sound like a little fucking Englander. Right? God, shoot me now. Pass the gun.
Looking at my notes, they've got Malouda.
Now we have two of them.
Malouda and Nasri in midfield, which are good, but they're not the holding play that you're referring to. So, I think we should probably cut straight to. Oh, and we haven't really talked about Sweden. But
let's cut straight to.
Yeah. All right, I'll say something about Sweden. I'm looking forward to seeing their away kit, which is a blue shirt and a diagonal yellow inverse sack.
It looks a bit too much like a polo shirt. It was the one they wore in the friendly against us, didn't it?
Yes. El Mander, isn't it, up front, and your man Zlatan sort of like.
Yeah,
it's all about Zlatan.
Okay.
Yeah, we've talked about Sweden. Let's carry on.
Sorry, Charlie, we've just dismissed Sweden pretty easily then.
Okay.
Charlie's getting a lot of mention.
Terry, you can go first.
I know, I think I went first.
We've all gone first.
Oh,
okay. So I think.
Back to you, isn't it?
Be back to me, but.
I think it's back to you. So
yeah, go on.
Sorry, Chief.
There you are. Arrivederci, it's 1-1. I'm going for England.
England. Okay, I can't choose England, so I shall choose France.
Ooh. Sweden or Ukraine? Come on then, Sweden or Ukraine?
Sweden for me.
Sweden. Oh,
I'm not rating
the host
Ukraine. I don't know.
Are going out again?
Right. So we've got Poland and Ukraine both out of this tournament.
So for me, I've got to go between France and Sweden. I will go for France.
La belle France.
Okay, so I can choose between England and Sweden, yeah?
Yep.
So I'm going to choose England, obviously, because,
And Chris?
Anti-Scandinavian.
What's my choice?
You have got England or France?
France.
France finished top.
Tatar Sweden.
Go home, France finished top.
I think there is one thing that's indicative, really. As I was making my notes and seeing who's in the squad, about half of the people in the Ukraine squad that I wrote down, it turns out, aren't even going to be there because it was a sort of preliminary squad.
Preliminary squad.
And they've all been chopped out. Mm. So that could be indicative. And then the other thing I was going to say is Scott Parker was interviewed in World Soccer for his what he's thought. Were.
Oh man, you're not falling back on World Soccer, are you?
I might as well. That's what Terry did last week, so I'm in for all of that. Quote your sources, that's right. And he was asked, what do you think of England's chances? And his reply is, well, miracles can happen in major tournaments like this, or words to that effect. And I thought that pretty much tells you where England's hopes lie. We're relying on miracles.
So do you want to hear the quarterfinal draw?
Please do give us that draw.
Okay, the quarterfinal draw is as follows: Greece versus Germany.
Oh, I say.
Spain versus England.
Come on. To 96 all over again.
Netherlands versus Russia.
Ooh.
And France versus Italia.
Oh. It wouldn't be the same.
Twirls mustache.
Okay, can I take my onions off now, please?
Yeah, so you can take your onions off wherever you like. Oh, man alive. So now we're going to have to work out a way of how we're going to sort out the quarterfinals.
I mean, we haven't got a mechanism for this.
What we could do is we could say, right.
Why don't we just go for sheer votes for one or the other?
Sheer votes for
sheer
one
votes,
or the other.
Consensus. Let's get a consensus.
How about though, if we all choose the same one, the other team goes through?
Okay. because as you should know by now, listeners, basically if we're all strongly behind a particular
but only if
belief,
in agreement if it's unanimous
only if we're only if it's unanimous
if it's 2-1 then the winner goes through.
Yeah,
winner goes through.
You should know
if it's unanimous
then that's too much, we've not thought about it.
Yeah,
we've been too lazy, and then the other team should go through.
Alright, you should know by now, listeners, that if we're all strongly behind one particular belief, then the opposite usually happens, so that's what we're going to go with here.
We can also say we were right and we were wrong.
So let me just like roll this ball around and you have
on the bowl during Valka step aside
and say like yes during Valka. Yes, I think it's England. Okay, well, no, it's Greece versus Germany. Terry, come on. Greece versus Germany. Now,
see, well, I know what's going to happen here.
Yeah.
Because we're all going to say that Germany are going to win.
And then we're going for Greece.
No, because you have to argue Greece's case. And if you can't argue Greece's case...
Germany are going to beat Greece in the quarter.
Oh, you're really sure about that?
No, of course I'm not sure about it. It's a completely hypothetical situation.
So who do you think should go first on the voting list?
In a quarter.
So do you think Chris should go first on the voting list? Because then you can vote for Greece.
We're all horse trading votes already. We haven't even started.
This is like a thing.
The hard things have begun.
Really the FIFA Executive Committee.
This is how it works.
I think it's very difficult to see beyond Germany beating Greece.
For all that Greece are playing a better brand of football, I don't think they can shine a light to Germany. So,
well, no, all right, okay, let's.
So, are you going to vote for Greece?
Let's think this through.
This is quite good actually, because actually, what it means, it seems this is like game theory, because you can go in and pick Greece.
The two centre halves,
depending on us picking Germany.
The two centre halves, Greece. Know the Bundesliga very well, they know the opposition very well. It's possible that they can marshal the defence to an extent where they this is what happens.
Yeah.
They play defensively. They don't press, they plus play defensively. You hold two banks of four.
Yeah.
No, in fact they've got the five man midfield and the flat back four, and they congest Germany, and Germany are worried and they feel under pressure to succeed. And in the 85th minute,
breakaway,
Germany win a corner. The corner is cleared, as all the corners. It's probably their 15th or 16th corner of the game.
Yeah.
And the corner is cleared, and the ball goes straight out to Gaykas. He's on his own, and Mats Hummels slips, leaving Gaykas to run through, and he beats Neuer on a one-on-one and scores, and that's the end of the game.
And they go through. Terry, you've just said that Greece are going to win that game. So there you go. It's 1-0. Chris.
Okay.
Greece, Germany. Like, what's going to happen here?
I'm going to give you two things in favour of Germany then, in that case.
Okay.
Or against Greece, you might say. First of all, in 10 qualifying matches, Greece scored 14. Now, there's a team who's struggling to score.
But how many did they concede?
They only need one, though.
Well, they only need one.
They can't have conceded that many to actually get here.
Otherwise, they wouldn't be.
Yeah. You've run rings, man, logically there.
Yeah.
So it's Greece it is, then.
No.
We're all going to win Greece.
They only conceded five in those 10 games. But
five in 10 games?
Yeah.
That's like half a goal a game.
Yes, I can do the maths, thank you very much.
They're almost scoring three times as many as they're letting in.
I wonder, though, that predominantly the Greek players do all play in Greece, and I wonder whether the exposure to playing is different styles.
The German players almost play wholeheartedly in Germany.
The thing is, the German players win things at their German clubs.
So you're going to go for Germany,
absolutely,
aren't you?
Absolutely, I'm going to go for Germany.
Right.
What else
I
would you expect from a rational
man? So, putting my clear head on, and like, you know, I've got more faith in Germany than you have, Terry.
Yeah.
Having been
indeed.
Cajoled.
I'm a lousy German, aren't I? Call yourself a German.
Yeah.
Not really.
I think they're going to go through. I'm going to put my stamp on Germany. And Germany to get through to the semi-final.
It's still when you got booted off that podcast,
they
Terry.
Fell into my trap. Yes, fell into my
game theory, I love it. So,
just to show you can engineer anything if you really put
Chris, come on, Spain, England, come on, tell me how England are going to beat Spain.
How are England going to beat Spain? Well, they've got the undoubted qualities of people like Gerrard. Joe Hart is a difficult keeper to beat. Tactical awareness, playing in different countries, of Roy Hodgson playing in different countries, and his team playing in different countries. So, is this basically you saying I've now got to vote for England?
No. You can vote for whoever you want.
Is there not even a brown stuffed envelope involved in this?
Not at all.
You know, who do you think is going to win out of England in a quarter final? Hypothetically, who do you think is going to win?
I just think England, for the fact that they are so depleted, I mean, it could have this kind of inverse logic. They may all suddenly gel together and play well, but I just can't see it happening against Spain. Not against Spain.
So you think Spain?
It's got to be Spain.
Definitely Spain. Do you know what?
Two words for you. Jordan Henderson. Thank you very much.
No. I will tell you. I will tell you for what. Spain, toothless in attack. Their midfield may be all over the place.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. No. They're going to go for Torres up front. Lorente will have had lumps like kicked out of him by the time. And then even that, or Pedro, or whoever they decide that's quite up front.
Yes.
And anyway, if they had Lorente, like Julian Lescott would rely like.
Oh my god. You were saying yes.
No, what I'm saying is.
Oh, she's still laughing
there. Yes, you should.
They've got Puyol missing, as we said.
Yeah.
Glory fatigue. Is there anything?
Okay, look, it's going to be 0-0. It's going to be 0-0. We're going to win it on penalties, and then we're going to get.
Like they're in 86.
Well, that's. Yeah, it's going to be 96 all over again. We might even.
It's David Siemens to look at.
Yeah. Spain might even get an offside, a clear onside goal called offside.
That was funny.
That was funny. Stuart Pearce might even take a penalty and might like you know, oh, well, man alive.
He's still
then all the advertising would be really.
Who are you choosing then?
I'm going for England. England for me.
You were going to go for England, weren't you?
Yeah. You're going to have the casting vote. Spain versus England.
This European Championship is not going to be about strikers. So David Villa's existence is not.
Man, you're going to say it's going to be a horrible defensive tournament.
No,
this isn't the World Cup. This is the European Championship.
The goals are coming from the attacking midfield. The strikers exist only to give shape. They're not going to be there to provide the goals. So I don't.
So you don't think that the Ox and Walcott and Ashley Young.
Yeah, I mean, okay, well, I should revise that. But I mean, if you're talking about classic, your centre forwards, your front men, your man up top, it's not going to be about that.
Yeah.
It's going to be about your attacking guys behind that. So I don't think David Villa is a massive loss for Spain, and I think Spain will beat England. Sorry, Chief.
Man, your tears are running down your face paint
revenge for 96.
Right? Yeah, so
can I pencil in that day for when to rip off the flag from
Spain,
my car?
Spain to win from a clearly offside goal.
the irony. Dad, next game then. Next game, we can't hang around. We've got to move on with life.
Bullshit, wait for
this, this is for me to like talk about Holland versus Russia. This is for me to sort to. Okay, so
I know who's coming through this.
In keeping with what we said before, I've always been a firm admirer of the Russians.
Have you worked this out yet, listeners?
I disagree entirely with your approach here, I've got to say.
I've already said the Netherlands, they're too big up front. They're too front focused.
Alright, we'll call it then.
Because domestically, even though none of them play domestically, Ajax won. I don't think that's ever good because they play too prick football. Once they come against a decent side, I think this is time. Russia now, they've got everything going in their way because they know they've got the World Cup. Alright, it's a long way off.
It's a hell of a long way off.
But they've got the World Cup.
So politically, they're in a good place.
They're in a good place. Yeah. Obviously, FIFA. FIFA obviously think they're in a good place because they think this is the place to go for football. I think it's going to be Russia.
Russia to be never. Okay, I agree with you. I've been swayed by their argument. I think you're absolutely right. I think Russia are going to win that game as well. Chris, what do you
think? Well, I know it's a marginal kind of view, but I think that Holland will
Come on.
Yeah.
Oh, no, he thinks all of the other way. Unfortunately, that means that 2-1, it means Russia that Russia goes through.
Well
and, and Holland go out.
Well done. That's where your integrity gets you in this game. Good
work. Pavlyuchenko, Arshavin, I mean, yeah, I suppose it's all there, isn't it, really?
So, well, the final game is France-Italy. Terry?
Genuinely tough one.
Yeah, yeah, you got to talk us through it.
Well, look, I mean, I said that Italy would go through to the semi-finals, and so I'm going to go with that. I'm going to go with Italian efficiency at the back, and with Matt Capri at the front, and I think that France will have feel that they've done enough to prove to themselves that they can be rehabilitated in world football just to even get to the quarterfinals. So I think this game is going to be playing in the mind and not on the pitch. And the mind game will be won by Italy.
Oh, yeah, you may think so, but let's compare it to Christmas.
I think, predictably, but I think France are solid. I think they're taking it. Yeah, I think France are solid. I think
France are solid.
I think Italy they've got too many young players in there who are yet to develop any kind of reputation. I don't think France will go much further than this in the competition, but I think Laurent Blanc is a very experienced coach and will imbue that sense of success. So it's got to be France for me.
Oh, it's got to be France.
So you get the casting vote.
I get the France vote. Well, I look at this match and I think France, Italy. I like France,
hello?
But then I like
who
Italy.
Who doesn't like France? And who doesn't like Italy?
There's only one way to sort this out.
Fine.
No. This is not the place for hackneyed memes. This is the place where we have to talk about
grief. No,
we have to discuss and we have to think about how things will really evolve. France are going to get through against Italy. No, this is actually turning out like a proper tournament now. Because what you've got now for the semi-finals, you've actually got a decent semi-final and a crap semi-final.
Which there always is.
Which there always is. Because now you've got a decent semi-final of Germany versus Spain.
Mm.
And you've got the crap semi-final of Russia versus France.
This is nasty.
This is an awful final.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's like a lot of Eastern European interest in that in Russia. So at least one Eastern European side getting to the semi-final. And I think that is definitely going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah. So let's talk about Germany versus Spain.
Germany versus Spain.
Germany versus Spain. First semi-final.
Who's going to pick first?
I have the cast. It's your turn. Your turn, or you can
I
fight.
I think it's Chris actually.
Okay, let's have scissors, paper.
Let's just give it to Chris.
I'm going to go for Germany. I'll be blunt and upfront about this because I just think, okay, both teams have got players that went right to the very end of the season playing in the Champions League final, etc. But I just sort of think that Spain, a lot of the Spanish players did, to my mind, start to look a bit tired. Even though, I mean, I love the Europa League final, but there was a sort of sense of like just kind of winding down a bit. And I just think that they've kind of been there, done it, and the whole thing of defending titles—they've won the European title and the world title. I just think Germany will be more hungry for it, and will have the players that are better suited to up their game. So thank you very much. I'll have a tick next to Germany. Thanks.
Well, that leaves it up to me to say, is it going to be Germany-Spain? But if I go for Germany here, then everyone goes through. But you don't fancy Germany anyway, because like you thought Greece would be in.
So we're not even going to ask you.
Yeah. But then again, I thought England would beat Spain. So
what do you know?
Well, what do I know? I'm going to have to look at Germany here, I think. Yeah, I think Germany will get through against Spain. So I'm going to have to say, yeah, Germany. So look, you've got...
So it's two for Germany.
It's two for Germany.
Yeah.
But if you pick Germany...
I'm aware of the rules.
Yeah.
I'm aware of the rules. You see, but this is where my theory of Germany being the new Orange is perfect. Because Germany will choke. and Spain
at the semi-final stage.
And I'm used to talking about fatigue. I would say by the set, if they can make it to the semi-finals, then they're going to think, well, no, we're not bottling this now. We've got these guys. We know these guys. And we're going to have these guys. I think it's going to be narrow, unpleasant. It may even finish on penalties.
Yes. But
Spain will win.
Are you saying Spain then?
Spain to win.
Spain to win.
Final answer.
Germany go through.
Yeah. My analysis is.
Do you realise this? Whoever answers last wins.
Oh, yeah. But it got Germany into the final.
Oh, okay. Well, now you have to tell us about Russia and France.
Russia, France is the other semi final.
I think it's your go.
No, it's your go.
Oh, is it? Oh, yeah. Okay. Sorry, I kind of moved. Gaddy's kind of feeling that
it is my game.
I didn't realise we had rules.
Okay, well, Russia, France, I think I'm going to put my moniker on France there for that one.
It's as detailed as
France
that.
Me, no worries. France will go through.
Okay, so for the first time this evening, I've now got to come up with an anti-France.
No,
you don't have to.
No, I don't mean to say I have to. I don't mean have to. Okay, well,
Germany v Russia is perfectly at this stage of proceeding. Germany v Russia.
Don't think about how to play it.
Yeah.
Play in the game.
All right.
Okay. Well,
say whoever you think is going to win.
Conceivably.
I love this game.
Okay, I'm going to say France are going to win, and so therefore
Russia go through
by default, purely because I think, you know,
yeah. All right, then.
France will huff and puff, so, and they will show lots of quality, but Russia will dig in, and there we go. So
this means that the Germany play not France, they play Russia in the final.
Forget your own rules,
chief. I forgot my own rules. I've just forgot one left and right.
I think France will dig in, but Russia will prevail eventually. How about that?
We're not going to decide this by judgment.
No,
some strange game
theory game. The dice will decide.
Terry's magic dice. I should describe, we've got 5 dice, each of them in different colours of the Olympic rings, and each of them have different messages on them. And by throwing the dice and following the messages on each side that is uppermost in the roll, we will work out how the final will play out. This is tremendously exciting.
This is going to be a 2-minute game. So it is whatever the scores are after 2 minutes. If the score is a draw, then we'll have a further 30 seconds of play. And then we'll keep having the third. And then if it's still a draw after 30 seconds, then we will have a 30-second goal. Then we'll have a golden goal, and the first goal wins.
Okay.
All right.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And the green dice is the one that decides.
Chris, you are going to commentate because you are the man in charge, and I would advise that what you do is you get a timepiece together of some description.
I have a timepiece about my personage.
I'm going to activate the flashlight so that you can also see
the flashlight
there, because it's a bit dark where we are.
So Harry, it's 2 minutes?
2 minutes.
2 minutes.
So we start with the red.
So who are you going to be?
Okay.
You're going to be Germany and I'll be Russia?
I think that's fair. Who's going to go first?
Domino Dolby.
You're Germany, yes.
Okay, Arshel, yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Who goes? I'm Germany and Russia.
I will flip a coin to
you could be Jack Taylor.
It is heads.
Yeah, cold.
No, come on. You lose your head. You gotta get into character, Terry, come on.
I think we've just lost James Appel, I'm sorry to say.
It is tails. You do not get heads. So I will go first.
Fine. Your accent is dreadful.
Yeah.
And Chris, hold that. And,
okay.
And then
you're
Jack Taylor, so when you're ready.
We are sailing into history.
And... And we're off. The time starts now. First dice is rolled, and it says
through
ball to the green. Green dice, a long ball up front, and it's a corner.
Ooh.
Corner to Russia. It says penalty. It's a penalty to Russia. Now, which way is the keeper going to go? It's a goal. 1-0 to Russia.
My go. Right, ready.
It's 1-0 to Russia. And the kickoff.
Inside pass to blue.
Blue dice being long shot at goal.
Long shot at goal.
Terry's going to be in Germany. It's a corner.
Corner to yellow.
Yellow dice being rolled. Shoot. A shot on goal. Can Germany equalise it?
Score!
It's 1-1.
It's 1-1.
1-1. This is tremendously exciting. 48 seconds gone.
Through ball to yellow.
Russia kick off again.
Offside.
Germany have a chance to resume.
Through ball to yellow.
Germany on the ball now.
Offside.
Oh, it's getting cagey now. About a minute to go in the second half now. And Russia have lost possession, tackled and lost the ball.
No.
Germany now.
No. On the short pass to Black.
To Black. It's a shot on goal. Chance for Germany to take the lead. It's over the bar. The score remains 1-1. Russia kick off again. Inside pass to Blue. 1 minute 23 on the clock. A shot on goal. Russia's just in there. Russia has scored. It's 2-1 to Russia.
Tackle and lost.
Germany kick off again. 30 seconds to go. Tackle and lost. Russia. Back, possession back with Germany again.
It's a short pass to Black.
Ooh, Black it went off.
A dribble through again. 13 seconds. Tackle and lost. The possession's back with Russia. Are they going to take it into the corner? No.
Tackle
and lost. Back with Germany again. 7 seconds. Short pass to Black. 5 seconds. The kick to yellow.
Come on, come on.
Shoot.
Oh, well, that shot was... I think we have to allow extra time for the shot
minutes,
to take...
2 minutes. You put up for an injury time, didn't you?
Are we calling that a day? Are we saying that?
You're the referee, Jim.
I think, to be honest, the shot, the indication to shoot happened when the whistle was blown. I think we should allow time for the shot to see the outcome. This is for the equaliser for Germany. Otherwise Russia win. It's saved! And by dint of that exciting outcome, Russia win Euro 2012.
Really should have done the whole podcast.
Like that.
In 2 years' time, listeners, we will do the whole podcast.
Hey, let's re-record it right now.
It's not.
Well, there we go. Very quickly, before we go, I know this is probably sprawled on long enough, but I did say that I was going to make every effort to get back to listeners' questions. We put a question out on Twitter earlier.
Come on, let's see this.
For asking you to give us your questions about Euro 2012. Earlier on, we heard from Gary Linton. Thank you, Gary, for your question. You basically asked us, are the Euros a better, i.e. more exciting, unpredictable and fun tournament than the World Cup? Your views, chaps?
Yes and no. Yes, in one reason is the fact that it's their teams that are quite competitive. No, in the fact that you don't get to see Ghana play Paraguay, basically. I mean, for me, that makes the World Cup for me.
Yeah, absolutely.
I have nothing further to add from that. I think that's absolutely right.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think it's just the fact that you've got more teams in the World Cup, you get more variety, and even if they are weaker teams taking part, like your Trinidad and Tobago's, dare I say, then at least that kind of adds the interest in the whole thing. So there we go. I hope that's answered your question, Gary. And we also heard from our old friend Michael Richard earlier on, who...
Hi, Mike.
Hello. He asked us what our favourite memories were from Euros in the past. I mean, I suppose being Englishman, it's Euro 96 primarily, even though England's campaign...
It's kind of Henry on his ass, isn't it? Against Scotland. Saving the penalty and then minutes later coming up with Gazza scoring that goal, which remains for me one of the greatest goals ever scored.
The dentist chair goal celebration.
Great celebration. I mean, just superb. I mean, the volley, I mean, everything. And then obviously Colin Henry just like being utterly clueless, falling on his ass. And who could blame him, frankly, because Gazza was at that point very much in the peak of his powers. And just sums up everything that's absolutely glorious about English football.
I think Marco van Basten's goal in the 88th final, couldn't believe what I'd seen.
Bit obvious.
Obvious, but it was. I remember watching that and thinking, good grief, you have no right to score a goal like that in the final of the European Championship.
You do realise that we had another Holland-Russia in our draw. I mean, like, because they played some fantastic games. In 2008, they played an amazing game.
Yes. I remember 1984 being a non-event because England weren't on it, and I think if I remember rightly, BBC TV only showed the semis and the final. It was just like, we're just not going to show the group games because England aren't involved, but it was a really cracking tournament from what you find out with hindsight. But other than that, I think the first one I remember seeing was Euro 80. I remember England and the tear gas when England played Italy.
Yes, Ray Clements. Loving his eyes out.
Yeah. But some decent goals.
Fun, I mean, it was horrible.
It was horrible from a hooliganism point of view, yes.
Wasn't Schumacher coming out against his goal and breaking the French player's collarbone in a European Championship? Or am I completely wrong?
I thought that was in the World Cup.
No, that was the World Cup. That was the 82 World Cup.
Was that in 82? I was very young at the time, I remember.
Yeah, we were many of our listeners weren't even born.
Anyway, so there we go. So thank you very much indeed to Michael and to Gary for your questions. And what we suggest you do now is go off and enjoy Euro 2012.
I'm not safe in the knowledge of
Russia will win. Put your bets on now, everyone. Although, using the logic...
We should come back after the group stages and maybe have a chat about what we've seen.
Yes.
Ooh, maybe, yeah. Let's do that.
Sounds like a good plan. So, yes, go off and
enjoy.
Watch the action, which is not far off now.
Really watch the football and don't think about what's actually going to happen. Just think about what will happen.
Buy yourself some coloured dice and reenact the whole thing for yourself.
Oh, man alive. Those coloured dice, yeah.
Best thing I've ever bought.
There we go. Fun for all the family.
And I've bought Star Wars boxing.
Well, everyone, just want to say thank you very much indeed for listening. We hope you have a wonderful summer and a wonderful Euro 2012. We'll be back with you, all being well, around about the time of the knockout stages. But until then, from three of us, it's a fond farewell. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. So what's that, an hour and a half?